to make it a Bohemian Rhapsody thing. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy?
That's it. Fuck that. I'm off now. Caught in a
podcast. No escape from reality.
Oh my gosh.
Can you see the face, guys? Raise
up your Google. Oh, I don't know. I'm not even on the channel.
I can see us. I can see us.
Yeah, well, I mean, I watch. See yeah, we're guys. On. We're good. We're live. Hello. We're
I can't see
me. I'll
keep
me. The song going. Is this the real cast? Where is Tefty Taft? We got it. Oh, we're good.
The land side. Right. It's mainly because he lefty left. Cleverest.
Damn.
Poetry in the house.
Let's
Who's
go.
Doing an intro Beautiful. Then? Who's doing the intro?
Link nominated, Link. Seconded. Oh. Done. Link, where are we?
Oh, you nominated and seconded me. All right, well, cool. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Planet Destiny Podcast, episode 118 for April 30th, 2017. How are you guys doing? What's going on, everybody? It's good Woo-hoo. To see you. It's been another wonderful, wonderful week in Destiny. We are your roundtable of hosts. I am the Black Link. We've, as usual, got Mr. Mega Magwitch.
Hi, guys!
That's him. Mr. Story Maforsheen. A solemn wave. Fallout plays himself.
Yo, yo.
And some Bones guy from some radio show or something or other.
Yeah.
He's more
hey,
of a
what's
guest.
Up? Dry Bones 81 here to talk it. About the real issues plaguing Destiny. Sticky grenades. If you use them, are you an idiot? We'll find out.
I just want you to be the Alex Jones of Destiny podcast. Listen to me. They're turning the warlocks into sticky nades.
When was the last time we were all here together?
It's June been a while. 1943, I do believe.
Yes, quite.
This is a wartime reunion of all yep. of us reminiscing about the old days of when yep. we all did a podcast together.
Yes.
Well, back
Bones
in my
and I
day.
Finally squashed our Twitter beef, so now you know we can finally be on the podcast
finally.
Together.
Yeah. Finally.
There's a
I
whole
feel like
thing.
There's a story
You're supposed
there.
To maintain that beef so we get more... You know, interest
oh, yeah,
and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Drama yeah. and, well, the problem was the beef was driving Bones away and we lost the sex appeal. So
oh,
it was
right,
no
right.
good. We were hemorrhaging viewers. We
oh. can't ever sacrifice sex appeal.
Well, then
That's
some
right.
dumb thing happened where we eventually came to like a peaceful agreement on what we were talking about. We were sort of saying the same thing, but in different ways. And the miscommunication was cleared up. And then we realized we weren't really arguing anymore and just like talking about fun Destiny things.
Yeah.
And so it was like, all right. We tried to keep it going, but really it just turned out to us hanging out.
Sent in DMs and, you know, one thing led to another, and now there's a marriage
right
happening.
Up in there.
And, yeah. I love
yeah,
it.
We'll announce that on an episode soon.
Hello, everyone mm-hmm. in chat. Mm-hmm. Everyone's live. Hello. Look at all those lovely, colorful emotes and stuff. That's nice.
Beautiful.
To see, isn't it?
Yes.
It is nice.
I always love to see the chat come alive.
I know.
Me too.
Well, yeah, it's still hype. Early morning for me. It's 5:04 in the morning. I'm still, like, finding my way, and all the love there, the hype. Battle Jitney, flying the flag. Everything, it's nice to see when you wake up. You know, the birds
I'm
are singing outside
forward,
at the minute.
I'm looking forward to the inevitable podcast where Story falls asleep on stream.
On, yes.
Oh, he's so tired.
It will happen. Just, oh, no, yes. no, but it's more likely there just isn't going to be a podcast because like, I didn't yeah. wake up.
Like, we're just sitting there waiting for him to press live.
Yeah.
Story!
Is he coming?
The clocks go back. That one time, Fallout's like, does Story know the clocks in the US have gone forwards? And I'm like, I woke up, that DM woke me up, and I'm like, no, shit, I didn't know. You know, so I was like 1 hour Rip. Less in bed. I was like, okay. But now the birds are singing the first time ever, like, well, not ever, but like since last summer, or when it was warm enough for birds to be doing lively things. And they're singing outside. It's great. It's amazing.
Wonderful.
Beautiful. Sounds like a beautiful scene.
It is. Look, yeah. there's a thumbs and everything.
He's giving the thumbs almost, up.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Almost as beautiful a scene as knowing that we're just a mere 19 days away, I think now. 18, yep. 19 days away from a very specific event coming up, aren't we?
Yes.
What's coming up?
That
I'm confused.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's
some kind of new WrestleMania event that you guys
yes.
tell us about.
There's actually a wrestling event going on right
there
now,
is,
and I'm missing it because
snow.
I love
I
you guys more.
Me too. Aww. It's fine. Yeah.
I love you guys more, but no, man, not, we got a little bit of a Bungie event going on this month, don't we? Mm-hmm. Or this coming month, I guess it'll be by the time people are listening to this. We got a Bungie event going on with Activision. May 18th, going to be getting a look at some Destiny 2 action, and I want to take this moment to say something. I totally just assumed that this event was going to be a Bungie live stream. It was like going to be a ride along where they do, you know, the usual advertising thing where they kind of walk through a social space, maybe go through one story mission and then say the patented, please look forward to it.
And then everybody gets on Twitter and be like, these fucking devs don't even know how to play the fucking game. And
someone is yelling about Vault Space throughout the stream.
Vault Space, please.
He's just like, there's no Vault. It's a new, totally redesigned system. You can keep as many items. Vault Space! No, I'm saying there's no Vault
there's
issue
no
at
no
all.
Vault.
So what you're saying is...
So you got rid of all of our Vault Space.
Oh, so there's
no Vault
Space. Limited space.
Don't have to worry about limited Vault Space.
Limited space confirmed?
If there's no Vault.
Yes, but are there sticky grenades?
There are. As a matter of fact, every weapon has been replaced with a sticky grenade.
Stay tuned. May 18th, we'll find out, did Destiny include more vault space, or did they screw the players?
Thanks, Jones. But yeah, man, they totally came out of the blue this week and kind of surprised a lot of people because they're inviting content creators out to their to this special event, and you're going to be getting hands-on time with Destiny 2, which is way more than I thought we were going to be or to really be getting from this. And yeah, you know, I'm going to say it. There's a couple people here in the call right now I'm a little bit jealous of. That's actually why I don't have a camera on right now, because I'm just a full shade of piccolo green right now.
He's stabbing his voodoo dolls the whole episode.
I actually have a picture of Fallout's beautiful face that I have stabbed several holes in.
And that was before he heard that I got invited to.
Yeah, that is nothing to do with today's news.
That was before I heard. Because a couple of you guys are heading out to Bungie, aren't you?
Yes. My uncle works at Bungie, and so I'm going
to. So be nice to him online.
My uncle works at Nintendo, so it was a little...
Why don't you tell us about it? What have you guys...
Who is going? I want to have confirmation on that first. All right, so we know that Bones is, which I did not know for sure yet, so I'm learning that right now.
Yeah, I didn't tweet it yet, but I'll be there. It's also like 12 miles from my house, so I just get to like wake up.
So you were going to show up anyway.
You mean you didn't just have to buy a train ticket and fucking plane ticket in order to get there? That's nice.
I know. This is like the one thing I'm lucky on where I'm like, oh my God, that works out for me. No, I'm... Well, you know, normally I have to travel for stuff like that, but
you poor bastard, just so unlucky living in LA. So few things there.
We already talked about rent on Twitter.
That's very true. We did.
Actually, you know, nobody at Bungie reached out to Bones. What happened was he woke up and he was stretched in front of the window and he opened it up and there was like Cosmo in his backyard setting up the event. And they're like, oh,
throwing tiny little rocks at my window.
Come on down. We'll send you an invite
for
that.
Lifted up the window and stuck my head out. What's going on down there?
Hey, what's
up? Is that a Bungie thing?
Cosmo turns his head to Wisniewski.
Want to come to a thing? Okay.
Turns over to Wisniewski like, damn it, he saw us. yeah, you're invited. Come on down, Bones. Yeah.
Fine, Bones. I was gonna go egg the venue, but then I got the email and was like, oh, just kidding. These were for snacks and breakfast.
He literally, Bones had the egg in hand, his phone buzzed, and he looked and he's, this was
just late Easter egg hunting, right?
Yeah. That's all it was. I found this. Someone didn't find it from Easter, and turns out, look, chocolate in there. Good chocolate.
Bones is dedicated. He ate a raw egg in order to keep his invite.
To save face, to keep get from getting egg on his face. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Oh my God! Thank you for saying it because I was thinking it.
Wrap it around.
We are on it tonight, folks.
We're so on it, bro.
Yes. Oh my God. Bungie really lowered their standards, and they invited Bones, Fallout, and myself. Well, technically, they didn't invite me. I'm like a. They invited a member of Husky Raid, and I said, hey, you other guys, fuck you, I'm going. And then
representing the Lollipop Guild, innit?
You quickly changed the password so they couldn't check the email.
I changed every single... That's so weird, guys. I don't know why you can't log in, but I RSVP'd just to be safe for me ahead of time, you know? Yeah, that's pretty much how it went down, I'd say.
Good call.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure if any of you, like, since I wasn't given an invite, not salty, I'm not sure if any of you guys are under NDA about anything, so I don't want to step on any toes there. But, this is a big event. It's going down. They talked a bit about it on This Week at Bungie. Another thing that really surprised me about it, in addition to basically inviting tons of content creators to come in and play Destiny 2 on PS4, they're also going to get a chance to see it in action on PC. That is something that I really was not prepared for, like, in the slightest. I didn't think we'd be getting to see anything from Destiny on PC until E3 at the earliest.
I mean, that does say very good things. If they're showing off the PC version, that does say good things.
That's my thought. I'm like, that's a ballsy move. They're going for it. They're really trying to establish that it's not going to be a shit port.
I'm really hoping that's the case. We've had huge conversations about this. Like, all of my old PC buddies that I played games with are like, oh, it's coming. And I'm like, we need to, just hold that enthusiasm back because we don't know whether it's going to be, like, playable yet. We have to wait and see. But let's just hope, fingers crossed, that it's going to be amazing. And if they're plugging it like that, there's every chance that it could well be.
I feel like they're kind of laying everything on the line here. They would have to be out of their minds if it wasn't, like, show floor ready. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why showing it does say so much good stuff.
Yeah.
It says so much good stuff about it.
I don't want to get, like, too antsy, but they just... It feels like there's some confidence with the way this was announced a while ago. We've known about Destiny 2 for over a month. At least the way the trailer came out so soon, the two trailers were great, and then they're doing this big event. Like, May and September, there's a lot of time in between there, but they're really confident in saying, like, hey, get your hands on this, put it up on your channels and stuff like that. Like, this is not, it doesn't feel like we're getting some sort of, like, pre-alpha or, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're, like, ready to go and have us play. So that just, like, instills more confidence in me. Even if there's quite a few more months after May,
to get through. If we cast our minds back to when Rise of Iron was on the cards, and this was Destiny 2 delayed. This was all in the all of the games media outlets. Destiny 2 delayed because wasn't it supposed to be roughly targeted for? It's not quite a year prior, but like there was a big delay, so having a beta like and an open beta as well during the summer, there's not really any huge gaps. I mean, yeah, September's a long time away, isn't it? But like, still, we're not really left hanging for that much long. We've got this reveal coming a couple of weeks time, then there's going to be like E3. To play E3, all of that stuff, new information. There's not going to be like a dry period where we don't have stuff to sink our chops into.
There's definitely going to be a lot of information, especially within the next month, because, I mean, even at this event, they're allowing video capture for the PS4 version, at least if I understood the things that I was reading. Not so much for the PC version. I think they're just going to be providing B-roll for that. But, that means tons of content creators are not only going to be getting their hands on Destiny 2, they're going to have a chance to record things. Everybody plays a different way. We're going to get an absolute metric ton of information out of this event. And that just gets me way more excited than I have any right to be. Because again, I just thought this was going to be like the usual Bungie ride-along stream where they walk around, they show off a couple of things, and that was going to be it. But no, we're getting hands-on access to Destiny 2 before E3. That's big.
That's
big. I love how they did it too, but at the same time, I kind of wish that there was more like organization. You know what I mean? Because all of a sudden, everybody on Twitter, all like the tier one, top tier, like, you know, Datto and like everybody was like, I got a mysterious package in the mail from Activision. We're like, yeah, get on with it. We know what's going on now. Yeah. I've already seen like the 800 other tweets.
I haven't been playing this game for 3 years.
Like, oh, it's over. Like, oh my God. And then we at first kind of thought like, oh, that's cool. I mean, it's totally understandable that they invited like Datto, Watts, everybody that, you know, does this in their sleep 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they put out we were like, yeah, that's cool. And then they put out the update on the Bungie website or the This Week at Bungie. And then they tweeted out like, we're not done inviting people yet. And then everyone was like, oh, really?
It was like the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory thing where you eat the first candy
golden
bar tickets. And it doesn't have the golden ticket, but you got another candy bar.
The amount of eyes emojis tweeted on Friday were
too damn
astronomical
high.
Proportions.
Yeah,
too just damn like high. It was. I don't know. Yeah, Fallout. I agree. It seemed sort of just like, what is going
what
on?
What is happening?
This is such a weird way to do it.
Yeah, oh, well. Essentially, and it's very weird to me because it's like I tweeted a joke about getting invited to look at emotes from the Husky Raid account, and then Cosmo like slides in the DMs. He's like, "Hey, I have an invite for you guys." I'm just like, "What? Is this how this happens?" I just assumed like I assume people already actually had their invites, and this was
I feel
ploy.
Dirty.
Yeah,
confirmed. You go and put Bungie on blast on Twitter. That's how you get an invite.
Everybody just spam them with tweets nonstop, and you're guaranteed an invite 100% at Husky Raid and all of them. Please. Yeah. Please don't actually do that.
Too late.
Yeah, you. Yeah, we're at Husky Raid. That's it. That's our Twitter tag. At that. That's
invite
the one.
Invite canceled.
This dude will do anything for follows.
But no. And then I don't know. It's just it is. I agree with Fallout, where I wish there was a little more organization, purely for my own finances and planning sake. Where I'm not like, okay, I have less than 3 weeks to get a flight to LA right now. All right, let's do this. Yeah. Text my only friend who lives in LA. Hey, can I sleep on your couch on the 18th?
Wow. And he's like, wow, thanks for the text.
Yo, no, you going to cut Bones like that live on the air, bro?
I swear to God, I almost DM'd Bones. I was like about to type, I was like, we're probably not close enough that I can ask Bones if I can sleep in his home.
Not yet.
We're only on a podcast together.
Yeah. I'm like, we're not, you know, I might just be in your bedroom at some point while you're asleep close. You know, we're podcasters.
I'll watch you sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
don't
you
worry.
Can share my bed.
I'll keep you safe, Bones. No, there's dry be Bones no longer.
Okay. Oh my.
Tune in for the live stream when Mega visits my house.
I'm going to IRL stream it. A creepy 4 a.m. IRL stream outside Bones' house.
Yeah. People get the notification that I just went live, and it's just your face in the darkness.
Who's that behind you? Like, see, door, you can see Bones' door there. It'd be open a crack, and just Mega's eyeball, you know, like...
That would have been great if you actually did like stream and Fallout and I were just at your place and nobody knew and we just opened up the door though in
there
the middle
it
of it.
It
would have been amazing. Oh my God. I'm upset that this isn't happening. But you know, I get to meet Bones for the first time in person, and then next time I will sleep on his couch, whether he gives me permission or not.
At that point we'll be at couch level. But okay, so this is kind of crazy because it seems like a day event, and I don't know. We everyone has seen the email that anyone got, so I have no schedule, but we've got the presentation that everyone will watch, which I'm the most excited for because I just want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that curated viewing experience. Yeah. I love, and they do a good job. And maybe like the sort of like April update tower walk around isn't the most like thrilling things, but there's been some really good stream reveals, so I expect them to do it well. And if it's anything like the E3 playthrough when we first saw Destiny and that mission in the Cosmodrome and the guy gets Thunderlord at the end of that thing and I was just like, this is cool. Watching this is really fun. So I'm really looking forward to that, but I'm just really curious about like how much story will we see? Are we just going to be in the Crucible or you know, because the story seems to like, will this explain tons of the lore all of a sudden? Like, what will this explain what's going on with the light? Because are we going to watch like the first mission or what are we going to watch? I don't even
it's fair to
really
say to expect an introduction to the Destiny 2 galaxy and to wet your whistles and leave you champing for more. So like, I think a few of the questions that we've got on our minds are going to be answered. Like, who the is Gary? And what is he doing? Why have we lost our light? You know, the things like that, I think you will have like an immediate kind of answer as to what's going on, but you're not going to have a massive picture.
I wonder if we're going to start off with the tower falling or if we're going to see like something of it going down, you know? Mm. That's what really interests me the most in that aspect. Because I don't know. Bones brought up, is it just going to be Crucible when we play? I hope it's just one strike that's all we can play for like 8 hours. It's just one strike over and over again.
Yeah, and as dumb as that sounds, that day we'll just be like, this is the best thing in the world.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
easily. That's what it was like for Destiny 1 in the beta. We had that one strike, and I just did it over and over and over.
Devil's Lair, yeah. Lair, man.
Oh, all day. Yeah.
Even though at the time I was like, this will probably get better, but this is really sick. It'll probably get better.
Don't worry, it's just the beta, guys. It's fine.
This is like a basic example strike. Like, it's not. Yeah.
Classic. There'll be more maps than First Light. It's just the beta, guys. Calm down.
Oh, I'd love it if the Destiny 2 thing was just First Light. I'm like, we're bringing it back.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, like you said.
If they show off any element of the world, the universe, the locations and stuff, because of the way Destiny works, where it's all so interconnected, that's just going to, like, give us answers or at least clues to everything else. So I feel like it's kind of hard to hide a lot of it. I feel like it's going to be difficult to like keep a lot of Destiny behind a veil that you'll only see once you buy the game or something like that. Just because everything's so interconnected. So I'm really curious to see where we go in the universe. Are we on Earth? Are we in the tower when stuff is happening? I just want to know.
Tough. You can't.
You just can't.
Thank you. Don't have time to explain while we don't have time to explain. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Topical.
There's the real question.
We're
going to
find out. We're going to find out.
Wonder if she still
soon.
Exists. Because, yeah.
Yeah.
My money is on we never see her again, personally. Low key. I'm looking forward to, like,
so
Destiny
funny.
4. Somebody's going to post on the subreddit. Does anyone remember from Destiny 1? Whatever. What was up with that EXO chick? People, yeah. I don't worry about it.
Who was like, that?
Yeah.
Right. Mm.
I mean, she turns into Poochie from Itchy and Scratchy.
Oh, no.
Like, oh, she died on the way back to her home planet.
Oh, wow. Well, reference to a dreams. Show within a show.
That's right.
We get deep, man.
We're doing it.
Boom.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. They're probably not going to get too deep into the story at this event. They're going to save that for a little bit later. I'd imagine, I could see them definitely starting off with like a prologue mission. Things maybe start off with the moment the tower gets destroyed and whatnot, and maybe just have a quick little mission for people to play through. What I'm really curious about is whether or not they're going to have PvP enabled at this event. You'd imagine they would have to with all the people that they're inviting, but you never know. They might just be a story mission or a strike or something that you play through.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I hope that they're... It'll be like a LAN party where I'm the little brother who's getting his ass kicked by everybody if there's PvP. That's all I can say. If there's any type of competition with the other people there, it's going to be so heartbreaking for me the whole time.
You can't just use skill-based matchmaking and get people in your grade. You're just like, okay, great. My lobby is Luminosity in Triple Wreck. This is going to be fun.
Come on up to the main stage, Mega. Here's your controller, and they give you like the Mad Cat with the broken X button.
Okay, I'm going to be like, can I set it to invert at least? Like, no, we don't have that option enabled.
No freaks.
No stickies. What would be worse if they're like, here's a mouse and keyboard, play on the main stage.
Yes. Enjoy. You're 1v1ing Lupo. Here's your mouse and keyboard.
Well, if there is anything on PC for you to play, I pretty much guarantee that it'll have controllers plugged into it and not mouse and keyboard. So that's what all of those events much do anyway. Yep. So
thank you.
Yeah. I'm excited, man. I can't wait. I want all of your phone numbers. I'm going to be texting you.
Texting?
What's going on? Send me phone.
You can have my phone number whenever you want. Here, anybody on stream can have it. I have thought about it for a second.
555.
Yeah.
Probably not
the
wisest.
I have Fallout's number. Hold on. I'll read it for him.
Oh, here we go.
I'm reading out Meg's number. I'm taking him down with me.
Oh, okay. This is a...
That's extremely worth it.
The phone's like, double win? Got it.
All right. What a threat. What a... God damn it.
Then. But yeah.
Yes,
topics to chew on today.
It's so hard to think about Destiny 1 and talk about it.
Kind of.
Gosh. Why do we even play this game? Garbage. D2 is coming out.
Dead game.
Yep.
Well, I mean, we could certainly talk about some of the things that that maybe we'd like to see at
there
the event. And again, I don't know if there's any sort of NDA going on around here. I assume the people who do know aren't going to step on that.
No.
But, you know, with this game coming out on PC, It's going to be shown off on PC there. What do you guys think the chances are that Destiny 2 is going to finally hit that 60 FPS mark?
Oh, it has
to. Please, man.
It's gonna.
Yeah. It goes without saying, because a 30 frames a second capped game on PC will be an instant flop. And Bungie know that.
Yeah,
Activision
that'd be weird.
Know that. You know, it would be insta flop. So I think whether the PC version is going to be capped at, you know, something like 90 frames or speculation. But yeah, 60 FPS, I think it's a. It has to be. It has to be there.
Yes. I agree. Whole
will it be 60 on console?
Oh, yeah.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah.
Just clean. Yeah. Please. I can't even say that I'm 100. Like, I'm like, of course, on PC, it would have to be way more than that. And then on console, I'm just like, man, I sure hope they do it.
Yeah, oh, my God.
Like, oh, that would be terrible.
I feel like this is a bad idea. It would be terrible if they. What kind of idiots would they be?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't 2 weeks know. Later, Fallout. I don't know.
My God.
30 FPS.
Yeah.
24 for my cinematic vision.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
I mean, yeah, you know, with it coming out on PC. Don't talk about that game. No, we don't discuss
sorry,
the order.
Sorry.
But, yeah, you know, you've got a point with it coming out on PC. Just even looking past the fact that the PC crowd probably wouldn't like that for it to come out at 30 FPS. It has to be. I think. I could have sworn that it was stated at some point in time during the development of Destiny that the reason they couldn't really push for 60 on PS4 and Xbox One was because of the previous generation of consoles, which, you know, tethered Destiny down in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So crazy that that was
its development. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so but crazy. Like, that like, really shaped the game we still play. Is like we're still playing a game that's really heavily shaped because they put it out on a PS3. Mm-hmm. That just blows my mind sometimes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I mean, weren't there games on... I joined the party late. I missed PS3 completely. But weren't there 60 frames a second games on that generation?
Oh, there were. But not to like the size and scale and graphical fidelity of Destiny. Destiny's a very, very good-looking game.
True.
And, it being developed... in part for that older generation of consoles, really held it down in quite a few ways. So much so that you guys can see Rise of Iron isn't even out on Xbox 360 and PS3. It was not developed for those platforms because those platforms couldn't handle it. So it's really exciting to basically have Destiny 2 developed from the ground up for a more powerful architecture. And I can't wait to see it, man. I can't wait to see it.
That does bring back, you know, we were just joking about how maybe the console's not... frames were blah blah blah, but like I remembering now that so much was because they developed it for PS3. That does bring back some hope, and I need to stop being silly and assuming something will be terrible for another 3 years.
And what the world does to you, man.
Destiny 1 makes a cynic out of all of us. Alright, it wears you down.
We're all very jaded.
Does a little bit of that. But all right, unless you guys have some more to say about the upcoming event, how was your week in Destiny? What'd you guys do this week?
I raided with the Black Link, and it was awesome.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
He's good. Was it? He's good. He looks
know.
After you.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Guy
I raided twice with
funny.
The Black Link. The first time was awesome. The second time, there was this other guy
there. They
brought
in the squeaker.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a crazy squeaker. Kept shouting about a palindrome or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. I can't judge Fallout's loadout using the palindrome at all, because I was over there trying to use a 4-round shotgun against the knights during the Death Singer challenge.
Really? Can I just say, that was absolutely precious. This week, we got to play together.
What did I say? I told you, I put on no backup plans. As soon as I did, we fucking beat it. Everyone was like, no
was
backup
good.
Plans. And then I was like, speed reload.
Yeah, that was literally the key factor.
You,
it was only the no backup plans.
This preciousness I'm talking about is actually Fallout. Because we did get to play this week. Mega, Yumi, and Fallout, we did some raids on stream, and it was great. hilarious time. But there was just this absolutely precious moment in the stream when Fallout got super self-conscious about his loadout. Like, guys, is the stuff I've got on good enough for PvE? And he's got like a palindrome on.
I was like, what else can I use? Tell me what to use. And then everyone in the chat was like, well, you have to use this. You have to use that. And I was like, I'm on PlayStation 4. I don't fucking have any of that. You don't understand. I have nothing.
But I was thinking like, oh, well, yeah, sure. I'll take a look at his loadout. And I see palindrome and I'm like, dude, you're fine.
That's fine.
That's perfectly good gun. Fine for PvE. A good gun's a good gun. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, fun. We got a little choked up, I think, on what was it, on Crota, Templar. The Death Singer Challenge?
Yeah.
We got choked
the
up on
Templar
Challenge
took
a little
while,
too.
Yeah.
Sure.
It took us like four tries to get the Templar Challenge done, even though challenge wasn't active for Vault this week. We just wanted to do it that way. But that Death Singer Challenge, oh my goodness. The timing on that thing is so strict.
Yeah.
And, you got to get those knights down as quickly as possible. And it was a funny time.
It was just filled with chat telling us to use swords that Fallout and I don't have.
Oh my God.
Constantly.
Yeah. Dude, the backseat. I've never experienced more backseat gaming than when stream
the
raids.
Trend of PvE.
Yeah, that's
because
you're. Oh, well, that's because you're competent at PvP Fallout. If anybody says something, you could just be like, here's my fucking graph why this is actually the optimal strategy.
And there are people are like, you're literally not going to beat this part without swords. And then Mega and I like kind of like look at each other off camera. And we're like, yeah, we're not fucking leaving this room until we beat this raid. Just so we can like rub it in Joe Blow 29's face on Twitch and be like, what's up, bro?
The legend 27.
What? No sword in hand right now? What?
We beat the raid in under 3 hours?
And it happened. Yeah, we got it done. And put Crota in his place, even though he spooked out a little bit there. There was some weird stuff. Spooky Crota's still a thing. Then we had a nice little wholesome run through the Vault of Glass, and it was a good time. I enjoyed it. I enjoy raiding with you guys. It's always a lot of fun. And pulling Fallout out of his comfort zone of PvP, I don't know. It just makes me smile. Super happy.
It was fun.
Me smile thinking about Fallout having a comfort zone in PvP. Everyone else is as uncomfortable as
I'm truly at my peak level comfort with fusion nades and wormwood icebreakers.
Those are just a warm safety
Fallout
blanket
that is other players.
Find out at 11. Which, by the way, I'm very glad you're continuing the path of the dark side, Darth Nader.
Damn right, bro.
Good.
Use whatever. Don't apologize.
Don't apologize. It works, man.
I saw first-hand footage of you and Fimi Shake doing all your hacking on Guardian Theater.
Oh,
that was some classical stuff.
Tell us
right
about this.
Oh, my gosh.
Do people at home know about Guardian Theater? Because I've learned that a lot of people...
I'm new, but yeah, like... Tell us all about Guardian
Theater. Because I didn't know about it a lot. You can apparently go into Guardian Theater and type in a gamer tag or a PSN, and you can watch footage from their point of view. Just like,
wait, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you being like jokey, or do you not know about this?
I'm completely serious. Hold on. I'm
okay. Yeah.
Right now.
See, it's studies show that 1 out of 5 Guardians don't know.
Yeah.
But so I was doing trials carries with. Excuse me, I was doing trials runs with Twitch followers. Yes. Thank you. I've been told in the YouTube comment section that saying carries is a condescending and rude word. That's a story for another time. I was playing trials with Shake, aka Fun Police. And we're just doing our thing. We're just having fun. I was being Darth Nader, Sunsinger, Double Fusion Grenade, which... feel free to send me your hate mail on Twitter at Fallout Plays. I was using Universal Remote, if that makes it better. And we were just having a great time, man. We were dicking around. We got a bunch of people to the lighthouse. And Shake was going through... I don't know why he does this. He's like, it's really weird. He goes through and tries to find footage from other people playing him on the off chance that they're lunatics.
Paid off, though, didn't it?
And he just DMs me. He was like, hey, do you remember that game where we beat that team like 5-2 and they were playing really slow? I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, you have to watch this. He sends me a link to their footage. And these guys were like raging. They were so mad. I mean, I don't... want anyone to like look up their tags or like tease them about it or anything like that. Like, but it's just, they were so mad. Yeah. Like, this is fucking bullshit. I can't. No! How did you live? No. That guy's fucking hacking, man. He's fucking hacking. It's like, wow. This is like, because if you had watched the match from our POV, we were like, oh, man, I snuck that guy. That's awesome. We just, no care in the world, just playing around, goofing off, and oh, my gosh.
I stuck that guy.
Yeah,
I will in the trials.
Yeah, who would have thunk it? Yeah. There are salty people in PvP. Mm. Shocker, to be sure. No. Yeah. You heard it here.
You made them that way.
Hot takes. Yeah. Hot take from Fallout Plays.
Hot take, baby. The hottest takes.
But yeah.
Anyway, that's my story. Cool story, bro.
It was a cool story.
Yeah, way to go, dude. Way to just brag for a little bit about how good you are with stickies.
Yeah.
How much rage you cause.
Because they're so. Because it's possible to be bad with them because they're such a skill ceiling.
Obviously.
Unfollowed.
I've done some research, guys, and it turns out that sticky users are 90% more likely to commit a murder in their real life. They're messed up, folks.
I think there's a pie chart that shows that somewhere.
I must be like,
the one that Bungie does not publish, though.
I must be among a
very ever seen a sticky grenade user and the devil in the same room?
Yeah.
I thought not.
It's possession. It's like legit possession and stuff, man. You could be exercised and stuff if you're a legitimate sticky man. I must be among a really small amount of people that I don't really have that much of a problem with sticky nades.
I'm with you, Story. I don't think they're like...
Same here.
I bet their usage went up to 5% after the special change, I'm sure. But I think that only comes from when people absolutely hate dying to them. And like, yeah, they're not a fun thing to die to, getting that like before you explode, especially if you get them and you think you have your escape, but you realize they tagged you in the foot. I get it. Yeah. The only reason that's just like a funny topic to me to make fun of is that people like lose their mind over it. And it's just like they've been in the game for so long
since day
back
one
to the first day, and they just I don't know, they've never got me that upset. And especially like I do with anything that's kind of that's beating me consistently, not getting me angry, but just like, man, I have died to a lightning grenade this many times, like, wow, this seems to be my downfall. What I do is I go to the subclass that has that thing, and I play it a lot, and I use it, and I figure out how it works, and then now I know how to counter it. And it takes a few tries if someone's good with stickies for you to go like, ah, that's the guy, so I'm going to duck out, psych him out, and make him throw and miss. And now I'll go, yeah, you might die three times trying to figure that out. But just like anything, it's just like learn them. And then knowing how they use, how to use them makes you know how to counter
them. Basically, what you've just said there, Bones, is what stopped me from having a problem with sticky grenades. Like, I've never really used stickies at all until, I would say, within the last, like, six months. And even then, it was, like, experimentation. Whereas now, I will use them because... there's like an element of the gameplay that I kind of enjoy, and that's the enhancing the inner snake. You know, stack him. You know, like, there's something kind of fun about it. I mean, we all know why sticky grenades are put into first-person shooters and into multiplayers anyway. There is a reason why they are there, and the developer will say, because it's fun. You know, and it's like, no, it's to give a casual a quick kill and give them a chance.
Yeah.
How dare Disgust. You, sir.
But no, like, I used
them.
Dare
you call me a casual?
No, I used them because...
What are you trying to say to me, bro?
You know, like, the people talk about the magnetism on stickies, and yeah, maybe the magnetism is a little on the high side, but the first thing I noticed when I started using stickies was, oh my God, they don't work anywhere near as good as they feel they do when
as
I
you
get
feel
stuck.
Like,
you know, like, because I've thrown, like, fusion nades, which apparently are supposed to have more sticky than any of the other stickies. I've thrown fusion nades literally on people's crotches, and it's bounced off. Titans have this oil. Natural Titan oil, as the sticky grenade just falls off them, you know, like constantly. So I don't know. But
it's an unknown subclass perk to just have an oil slick slide right out of something.
Sweaty bastards.
Hey, Fallout, you're the numbers man. Can you verify if that's true, what Story said? Do fusions have more magnetism than the other ones?
I mean, it's not what I say. It's just what, you know.
No, I know. It's just
point.
What you've heard. Yeah. I'm asking
no
in general.
Sometimes it feels like that. I mean, it would be really difficult.
I saw a playbook thread that someone did it with flux and fusions and found no difference, no noticeable difference when testing them in a setting.
Well, there we go. I wasn't saying that you proposed it to the world Story. Just I've heard it before.
Sure.
I was just curious if it was a thing.
I hear is that this nade did a right angle on me. But the thing is, every time I've seen that
sometimes.
And every time I've experienced it, I would put that down to a really low update rate or like latency than actual stupid magnetism, because the nade clearly is sticking to a previous frame that it thought you were or you existed on moments prior to your movement. You know, like that's just not necessarily lag, but like having a really low tick rate that can
the
cause
nade
that kind of
stuck
issue.
To my shadow and then I died.
Yeah, that's basically
sometimes it happens.
Rip Peter Pan.
the other thing here, guys, is like the usage of this grenade. Yeah, maybe the special weapons that one hit kill is nice, but like, let's be fair to your fellow player who likes a certain subclass and just doesn't want to use the terrible grenade options. Like, sorry, but if you're a Sunsinger, what are you going to use?
So
Firebolt?
Like, yeah.
Give that guy a break. He's using Sunsinger. So if you can't really beat that Sunsinger who uses like one of the currently like worst subclasses, let him use the good grenade that he has.
Let a man have something.
That's so hard. I mean, like what you said earlier, you know, it's not fun when you're in the game and you see somebody trying to throw a stick at you and you're like, oh, I dodged, right? And you're like, no, I caught your pinky toe.
Yeah.
This little piggy went boom, boom, and you're dead now. Yeah. It's not fun when that happens, but if I do get frustrated, it's just getting frustrated at like, maybe I wish there was a tweak, but I'm not going to get mad at the player. That doesn't make sense to me. Like he's using an incredibly smart option on paper.
Let's talk about this. So this is
like
on
I always
Guardian
say to my
GG.
Wife, don't hate the player, hate the game. That's what Fallout's trying to say.
So, all right, so we're talking about Blade Dancers in Trials of Osiris. All right, so I'm pulling this up on Guardian GG. Anyone can go look at subclass stats. Three grenades. We've got Flux, Skip, and Arc Bolt. Now, the usage is pretty apparent. 44% of Blade Dancers use Flux Grenade. 52% use Skip Grenade. So over half of Blade Dancers, 3.4% of Blade Dancers use Arc Bolts. They've got two choices, and skips are not bad. So then you've got the win rate of Flux Grenade users, 52% of the games. They win just over half of their games. Skip Grenades, 49.7, barely under half of their games. This is like a difference of like a game here and there. And then the KD... Flux Grenade users are usually going 1.10 in Trials of Osiris. So, killing more than they're dying.
Yeah.
By a little bit. Skip Grenades, 0.99. So, it's off by 0.2 in terms of how well they are performing. So, yeah, the usage is there. So, it seems like they're there. There's definitely no Blade Dancer out there running Arc Bolt as much as that kind of hurts as like an old Lucky Raspberry user.
Yeah.
But that split is so small. So when I look at that, and I assume this is maybe how a dev approaches it, just my guess after paying attention to this stuff, is, wow, Arc Bolts have a 3.4 usage rating? That's like, come on, let's give that grenade a little boost. But I don't see them going like, oh, wow, clearly Flux Grenades are out of control. Everyone is using them and going flawless constantly. Like, it's really not happening. So you can do that with all the other subclasses too and see very, very, very similar stats and just in Trials, for example. So incendiary grenades versus fusions on a Titan Sunbreaker in Trials. Fusions are up by 1.03 KD versus 0.91. So a little bigger split, but like, what are they going to use? Thermite grenades, 1.7% of Sunbreakers say, yes, I will use that thermite grenade. So, it's just about choice at this point. It's no one's trying to hate you and using that, OP cheese, easy kill strategy.
Right.
Really, they're going 50-50, like
yeah.
you are.
Yeah. I mean, like, you have Salty Sam out there in PvP, like, oh, how dare he stick me? How dare he play a Sunbreaker and use the smartest, most effective, deadly grenade option?
Smartest by, like,
you for cheating.
One time.
Reported.
I'm sorry I got your account temporarily banned, Fallout. I didn't mean to report you.
No problem.
Momentary anger, you know. Yeah. Lover spat.
It's really all right as well.
I love them.
Yeah, no, they're fun. I like them. Yeah.
That's true, man. Mm-hmm.
I use them more than any other grenade since the special ammo change because Gunslinger has been my main, and then I took off fusions on my Sunbreaker and put incendiaries on because they don't get me kills, but they can tag three guys in a room that I clean up with a couple primary fires.
Easy.
And when you get that burn and you see the, what is it, the 147?
Oh, yeah.
As you know it, and you can get that little wave, and then they die. Like, that's where it's nice.
Get 170'd, brah.
Yeah, yeah. But they're solid.
They are, you know, and really, this has kind of become the next big PvP boogeyman for really a lot of players out there, which we see pretty much in every sort of weapon season. Previously, it was the Wormwood. Before that, it was shotguns. Before that, it was sniper rifles. Before that, for a period of time, it was the Mita multi-tool. People were saying, oh, that's cheap. Don't use that because it's effective.
Don't forget Juggernaut Titan.
Juggernaut Titan, the flying Titan mans. And, well, like Bones just showed, you know, there's a very small percentage difference between the effectiveness of these things. Yeah, yep. They're effective. You shouldn't really get mad at people for using an effective option in a competitive game mode. It's kind of like the people who get mad for you using specific weapons. Like, don't use that weapon, it's cheating. No, it's not. It's how you win.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to start yelling at people for using Sleeper Simulant in a raid.
Ugh.
Gosh,
use a heavy machine gun. You guys suck.
Bruh, super good advice only. Come on, man.
That's great for Atheon's sake.
Yeah, super good advice. It's good, man. Get them. Skyburner's NX.
Fine, Dragon's Breath.
And super good advice.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, that's good. Dragon's Breath's good as well. What are you talking about? Talking about.
I love that one.
Yeah.
For when the legions come on, on Atheon and Dragon's Breath right in the middle and you just watch it burn. Oh, man.
Fields of fire. But yeah, it's in my opinion, it's just kind of the next big boogeyman, and it's not an instant win button. It never has been. What it is it's just a very good PvP option amidst in a lot of subclass cases, not a lot of great options. Yeah. Firebolt, nerfed into the ground. What are you going to use, a solar nade in PvP?
Actually, that's people can walk away from. I watch War Bulletproof, you solar
nades. I was
going
to say, unless you're War Bulletproof.
Yeah. Unless you are War.
Yeah, like...
Kid's a machine.
Yeah, man. The he knows how to. I think everything can be used to its like strength and weakness. It's just how big are the weaknesses with stuff. You know, that's the big thing. It's like at the moment, the thing that I'm getting salty about in PvP at the moment is just sidearm usage. Only because I personally find sidearms the most dull and uninteresting weapons to pick up and actually use. You know, I've never liked them, but that's just my own personal preference. I don't see sidearms as an epidemic and a massive problem. It's just that with the iron wreath and fucking, you know, it's like squeezing a teat. And I just don't attract me to want to use them at all. And the time to kill is a little bit too quick on them. I remove them, please.
I've always actually enjoyed like sidearm fights, so I don't hate. I'm like the opposite of story where I don't know the other specials. I'm not great with them. I'm not great with any of them, but sidearms are one of the ones I think are more fun for me to use.
I preferred shotgun play. I thought shotgun play was a lot more fun than using sidearms, but that's personal preference. Everyone's going to have
probably a unique opinion. I'm sure nobody else on this podcast agrees with that.
I miss the dance, man. The dance has been gone for a long time and that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
It was like a waltz with your enemy shotgunner to.
I'm never
going to
dance again.
Who's going to jump?
Guilty feet have gotten no rhythm.
No rhythm. Yeah.
It's easy to pretend.
Keep going.
Say it.
We said this was the musical episode.
Yeah,
we did. We did say that.
Started with Queen.
Speaking of special complaining, I've actually been having a lot of fun. Using the Saladin's Vigil lately. I've never vooped in my life, really. I've never really been a vooper. And it's this so last week, I've just been, I don't know, the last 2 weeks, I've been using the shit out of fusions and sixes, and I've been loving it.
The rhythm does get you eventually, doesn't it, with the fusion rifles? It's usually the Saladin's Vigil. It's like a gateway drug to VOOP, isn't it, really?
Oh, dude. Well, I mean, with fusion rifles, especially in PvP, there's just something satisfying about getting that perfectly timed charge off. Maybe when you got an enemy around the corner, you know they're coming around, you start your charge off early, and then you catch them at that range. There's something oddly satisfying about it. Mm-hmm. Like back in the day when Future War Cult was selling that version of, what is it, the Vortex, and you pick that thing up, and it's just got such a great mixture of stability, range, and aim assist, and it's just, it feels good to use. it's not my favorite sidearm or special weapon to use, but there's just something special about it.
Sidearm or special are the same thing now in League of Mine. They've become one word.
All one category. You just call it sidearm.
Yeah.
But there's something satisfying to me about a fusion rifle kill. Maybe it's because there's really nothing else like it in any other first-person shooter game.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It is unique. I was playing a card with Cammy and my friend Papa, and there was a very good question raised. Why don't we have a fusion rifle that regenerates its ammo like Invective and Icebreaker?
I don't know.
You know, we just don't
wish
know.
We did.
Wish we, do you know what I mean? It would be...
That's
I think
a good
that,
question.
Yeah, it would... Why not? Why not? Stop work on Destiny 2, Bungie, please, now. Introduce a new exotic or new, regeneration for fusion rifles right now, please. But yeah.
I haven't really been using fusions too hard, and then Cammy got me... Cammy Cakes, you guys know Cammy Cakes, you too?
Yeah.
Got me fucking hooked on the Telesto.
Yes!
That gun is so...
Molesto!
I can't describe why it's so fun to use. It's so unique and weird, and like when people get killed by it, they're like, what the fuck did he just kill me with?
This
what?
Telesto? Fucking Telesto?
And it's the king of priming people. Like, if your goal is to use Telesto, don't think like, oh, I'm going to get kills with this gun. No, don't think that.
No.
What you're going to do is you go into a fight, you find somebody like, oh, there you are, and you spray them with the Telesto, and then you switch to your Palindrome or whatever primary you prefer, Palindrome. Mm-hmm. And then it works so good at priming people because those little purple tic-tac things, whatever they are, that explode on people.
The
tic-tacs.
And then
it's perfect because you damage them all at the same time. And it's great if people are chasing you. Someone is chasing you, you run through a doorway around a corner, and you shoot the floor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Floor with the Telesto. Yeah. And they run around the corner into the explosion on the floor, and you're like, yeah, you're done.
That's what Cammy does. Like, I was spectating him so much when I was dead in Trials, just watching him with the Telesto sticking the side of the walls where the enemies are. So when they try and pop out to take a shot at you, they've got purple stuff firing in their face, they're already primed, and he just picks them off with a quick primary shot, bang, so it's like there's a lot of really nifty strategy to using the Telesto.
It's a legitimately fun weapon.
It pairs so well with Shade Step too, because you can Shade Step in the time it takes the pop rocks to kind of explode, and you can kind of really size up how much damage you do without totally losing view, because it works on any class where you can kind of cut off the line of sight, and you sort of need to, but you can maintain line of sight with a Shade Step and even kind of just sidestep or go back at them. So now that they're half damaged, you just come out, they haven't been able to track you, and you finish them off. I love it with Night Stalker.
Well, that's what I'm playing this next week. That's it. It's official.
Telesto
Night Stalker.
Telesto's the besto.
I've had a good week of playing stuff that I don't normally play. Like, I created a new Titan and played Sunbreaker pretty much all week, which is something I've never done, ever. Like, never touched a Sunbreaker, and I've had loads of fun. Got a Flawless card with Cammy and Papa going up on my own YouTube at some point
tomorrow. I saw that. That was a good video.
Yeah, I haven't published it yet, you liar.
Oh, no, I saw it on Cammy.
Oh, Cammy's one. All right, then, that's
trying to expose me story.
That makes sense. He said it was a good video. It must have been on Cammy's channel.
Yeah.
Boom, roasted.
I've been leveling up by an alt account with my Voidwalker. I finally just did the Stormcaller mission, but I don't really know if I feel like leveling up a whole second subclass on that character.
Harrison.
But it's kind of fun trying to make stuff happen in the Crucible with guns that you are just not going to use on your main account.
You want to talk about people using things for the first time? You want to speak up here, Mega? I've been watching this kid on Twitch.
Yeah, man.
Because he's been streaming during the day, and I'm a bad employee. I'm like doing busy work on one monitor on a spreadsheet, and I'm like, oh, I'm watching Mega and Crucible over here. Oh. And every time he's like, you know, Fallout, I've never played a Blade Dancer before. I'm like,
yeah.
Like, well, that's kind of weird, but I mean, you know, he
for someone
plays
who
a Titan
Hunter forever.
He's a Titan. I see him play a Titan a lot, so he probably just hasn't done it. And then, you know, the next day, he's like, you know, Fallout, I've never played a Striker Titan before. I was like, what did you just say? Like, never. And then the next day, so, you know, I've never actually used Mida multi tool before. I was like, okay, I'm gonna unfollow
what
this guy right now.
Legitimately used Mida for the first time ever this week. Had never even fired the gun before. Yep. I've had it for ages. I was just like, I'm not gonna use this. It doesn't interest me. Yeah, just didn't. It's pretty good, I gotta say.
My camera was on so you could see the look of disappointment I am giving you right now. What? Mida's so good, though, man. It's legitimately good.
I know that now, but I didn't want to use it before. I don't know. It just didn't interest me. Now I'm trying new things.
It's because there's new camos for it and stuff. It's the Arctic.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the skins. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mida looks good.
It's more that, you know, we're at the end of Destiny, and I'm kind of the type of guy who gets set in his ways and just plays this one thing the whole time. When you're me and you suck at Night Stalker for a year, you take that year to try to not suck at Night Stalker. I failed at that, so now I'm like, fuck it, let's try some new things because this isn't working. So I'm using my last bit of time with Destiny to try out all the stuff that I never tried.
Yes.
So Striker for the first time. Fallout thinks I'm a bubble main or something when I literally only played that for the first time after I started playing with Shake, which didn't happen until I got a PS4. So I literally had like never used bubble either until I met you guys. Like, I just have always been gunslinger or Night Stalker only. That's it.
You just like, pushed him onto PvP bubble because we're like, we just want more orbs. Make orbs.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah, right.
Back and make the orbs.
You go into PvP and Mega's like, oh, what is this contraption? Rocket launcher, you say? Yes. Ah, it feels good. I will try this.
That's borderline true because I was playing with Fallout and he's like, do you want me to wait for the heavy? I was like, no, I never fucking pick up heavy. I just don't ever do it. So like, I don't care. I don't know. I get heavy and then I just get blown up by the other team trying to use it and I'm just like, fuck it, what was the point of that anyway? So rather than get better with it, I just choose to never use it at
just
all.
Just stop?
Yeah, I just gave
breaking
up
my
on
heart.
It. I gotta get better at the primary part before I can switch to the heavy part, alright? It's a whole strategy.
So what's next on your list of new things to try out then?
Well, Telesto, because I've never used Telesto, so that's what's getting added. Okay. That's what's happening next week.
When
so
you get a specialist and void damage in a strike, Telesto will have strikes that usually take 10 minutes done in like a minute and a half. It is the silliest thing. You just literally walk and just like, and everything explodes in front of you. It's the most satisfying feeling.
I'm looking forward to this new world of opportunities in front of me.
Remember, when you find stuff out like that, like, because Destiny is a massive game. It's so big. And you can literally find all these little nuggets of things to try in year three at the very last dying breath of the game. And you can still find stuff that, you know, inspires you to pick it back up again and try things. I like that. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I like it a lot
as well.
For someone said the chap, Bibletron, Fourth Horseman. Like, I'd never bothered with strikes and stuff like that. I got the Fourth Horseman out airborne and while I was on holiday and just mincing bosses. You know, that was loads of fun. I'd never really done that before. Carry on. Sorry. Yes.
She's going to say, I think the heroic modifiers this week are basically just as good. I think it's like Arcburn and Specialist.
Yeah, Specialist.
So you just
head
out there with Force Horsemen and destroy everything.
Yeah.
Pop that weapons bubble and just melt shit. It's
Lord
so
of Wolves as well. There's a very underrated special weapon. I used that in a few Trials games, man. It does fly through ammunition, but like I mapped a dude like almost fusion rifle range. It wasn't quite as good as like a good fusion rifle, but like literally slid around a corner and shot him, and I thought, oh no, that's not going to kill him. Blah, dead. I was like, oh. it's like when you discover a gun being good, you know, like unfortunately you don't really have it with primary weapons anymore, but special weapons, yes. I've discovered a new weapon that's like actually good. It's going to be a special weapon. But yeah, the camo, the ornament for Lord of Wolves looks amazing.
I've seen you playing with that ornament on. It looks fucking good. Lord of Wolves is one of the only guns that I actually did used to use a lot, so I really want that skin. I used to love the Lord of Wolves.
Oh man.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, I know.
I got really lucky with that. On silver, I think it was the very first ornament to land. I just hadn't got a Lord of Wolves anymore, so I had to go to the kiosk and procure one for myself and put it on and was like, "Oh, I'm going to start using this. This is really good." We're getting on questions because there was a lot of really good questions on Twitter, I noticed.
Yeah, I thought I saw some good ones.
There was some juicy questions.
Juicy.
If I go over to the likes, I've bookmarked these.
Ooh.
Oh, look at
this
you.
Man preparing
in advance.
Oh, here's a good one from David. What's your favorite thing about Destiny that exists now but didn't exist in the vanilla version of the game?
Oh.
Ooh, swords. I call dibs on swords.
Ooh, yeah.
Swords are the shit. They're the most fun way. They're the most, like, goofy, fun-heavy to use. I don't know. Because when you kill someone with a sword, it's always enjoyable. There's a reason why the fun police uses it, because he likes to do things that you're like, man, they must be pissed that I just killed them. So
our swords are super powerful. It's just you got to have the confidence to use it, because you got to get up close. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is going to sound weird coming from me. I'm going to say raids. Because that wasn't in original, like, release version of Destiny, but then when I did VOG for the very first time with my friends, I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like, it was so fun to go through and do that. That's one of my favorite memories of playing the game, was doing VOG for the very first time.
Armor parts.
Oh yeah, oh gosh, because materials for upgrading your weapons and armor used to be way worse back in the day.
You had to like grind your alt if you wanted to like get your second or third character up, because you needed separate armor parts. That drove me
each
insane.
Each class. Ooh. And I mean, not to mention the fact that upgrade nodes for weapons and armor were completely different back in those days. You needed tons of glimmer. You needed planetary materials. You needed all kinds of stuff to level that crap up. That was the worst.
That's what I'm seeing on my alt, because I get some stuff from year one and stuff, because the greens and blues don't change. And there's like a blue scout rifle that I really like, but to get that last note is like you need 16 weapon parts, and I'm like, wait, why? Like, why were this? Like, there's four just damage nodes, and I'm like, I'm not gonna do that,
dude.
No, crazy
how
much stuff you needed.
Mm-hmm.
When I first jumped into Destiny, I was late, and like all of my friends had already played, and I got guns and stuff, and I was just like, how am I ever going to level this shit up back then? Yeah. Like, it was so overwhelming coming in late to the game with how many ridiculous consumables there were needed to level things up. Like, it was awful back then.
So many currencies.
Currency was crazy.
So many currencies right now. Nuts. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to drop two things because they're kind of related. One, rarity locked engrams. And anybody who was here from Destiny 1.0 knows, back in those days, getting a legendary engram didn't mean that item was going to be a legendary.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
Man,
I'm getting hit with a flood of memories right now of original Destiny.
The PTSD kicks in right about now.
The loot cave with the just getting engrams and then filling up and going to the Cryptarch and getting like nothing from it, and you're just like, I want to die.
Because it took so long to get legendary drops back in those days. It was such a grind to get those. And then for the fact that those could decrypt into rares was legitimately the worst thing in the world.
That was like one of the first things they fixed. Like, I remember the first hot fix I ever read was just like, okay, sorry, no blues from purples.
Our bad.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things. If you look up like old Cryptarch memes, they're all jokes about that. Like old outdated meme graveyards are jokes about
scumbag.
That phenomenon. Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two is the change to the light leveling system. Back in the day, your light level was basically tied to your armor. The only way to get max level was to play specific game modes, and it was back in those days, Iron Banner or Running the Raid. It's where the meme of Forever 29 came from. The only way to get
the
max
helmet
light
on hard mode,
would be to get the stuff from the Raid or from Iron Banner. And I think when they revolutionized things, I think with the Taken King with the infusion system, it's just overall a much better system for this type of game, and I hope that persists into Destiny 2. I can't see them getting rid of it.
Yeah. No, they really figured it out eventually, and they I feel like Taken King was like, oh, this made sense, and progression didn't feel like an excruciating thing. And and there was enough time for light level, like when Rise of Iron was finally out, the light level grind was pretty real, people trying to get ready for the raids, and you really did feel like you have stuff to some work to do before you could do things, but not in a way where you're like, I hope RNG lets me play that new activity sometime this month. That was rough.
Yes.
Yeah, good question.
I got another. This is Fallout have already answered this one, but I'm going to put this one to you guys. This is from Tristan. What are your favorite drinks and snakes?
What?
It says, what are your favorite drinks?
I remember reading that question, okay. And I was like, is there a connection I don't understand?
I was laughing so hard
when
at that
you're
question.
Drinking, there's nothing like having a snake draped over your shoulders, you know?
Okay, hold on. Is this my favorite drink-snake combination, or is this separate, my favorite drink and also my favorite snake?
Could be either or.
I'm answering separately. My favorite drink is, I always answer this question non-alcoholic and alcoholic because that's important to me.
Yeah.
My favorite non-alcoholic is the LaCroix, Pamplemousse to be specific, and my favorite alcoholic beverage is an Old Fashioned. And my favorite snake is that one from Harry Potter where that when Harry lets him out of the cage and he goes...
I was going to say, you fuck!
He goes, thanks, and slithers away. That's my favorite snake.
He's boring. He's asleep. I'll follow Bones' path and say my favorite non-alcoholic drink is a half cherry, half Mountain Dew slushy from the gas station across the street from me.
Yes.
Big plays.
My favorite
Midwest
alcoholic
thing I've ever heard.
I know, right? And my favorite alcoholic drink is a smoked whiskey, which is my stepbrother makes those a lot, where he has wood chips that he torches and gets the glass nice and smoky and then mixes in. It's delicious. And then my favorite snake is Arbok. That's what I'm gonna
Arbok,
go with.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
just
a good
for
one.
That Arbok,
not,
like his screaming.
Not Survivor.
No, fuck Survivor.
No one likes Survivor.
Arbok. All day.
You're gonna come at me with Survivor right now, Bones. That's it. I'm slapping you right on the mouth
Pokemon
when I get to LA. All right, I'm gonna find you just right on the mouth.
There oh my it God. Is.
Link.
Yeah, Link.
Okay, so I'm a Southern boy, so it's really hard for me to answer this with anything other than sweet tea.
That's a good choice, though.
I make that all the time down here, and I drink that. And then I guess I like a Shirley Temple, which is like a cherry Sprite mixed with whatever alcohol you can find at the time.
Shockingly not as cowboy of an answer as I expect from
that. I remember
boys.
When I was a girl in college.
I was expecting some whiskey.
Link is literally the only guy in the entire community who's like hot, like fucking manly enough to be like,
I like a
Shirley Temple.
A drink of Shirley
Temple.
Who's going to say shit? Yeah, nobody's going to
No, if he was, truly that confident, he would have called it a kitty cocktail.
Or I'll drink a kitty cocktail. I'll take that.
Oh my gosh.
And my favorite snake is Solid Snake.
I would also accept
Snake Plissken. That also works.
Yep. Ooh.
Excellent.
Damn.
That is...
excellent choice.
Nice. Excellent.
That's a good cue. A weird question, but a good one.
I'll take that.
You know,
we can have weird. We like weird. Weird is good.
A surprise to be sure, but a welcome one.
What? Yeah. God damn it.
Awesome. I've been to that subreddit.
How do I
too.
Leave this call?
You've seen the internet in the last month?
You've seen the internet.
Wait, leave the... It's treason, then.
Oh, fuck you. I'm extra leaving. I'm extra leaving.
What's going on? We've got another... do you mind me reading these? Do you want to find
no,
one of these?
No, go ahead, man. Please interrupt our memeing.
Bibbletron. Yeah. I keep reading that as Bibletron. I should not even. Bibbletron.
I'd like to think Bibletron is like a really, really awesome Decepticon. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Very religious.
Opinions on Welcome to a World Without Light. On the surface, there is an obvious interpretation there, but he's looking for deeper thoughts on Welcome to a World Without Light, the tagline for the Destiny 2 reveal.
Are we talking in terms of lore or in gameplay?
Well, he wants deeper thoughts, so I guess
anything,
as long as
whatever
it's
you
deep,
got.
You know.
I will deep, I'm out, man. Talking to the wrong guy.
I don't do deep, yo. I'm a surface level kind of guy.
Yeah. The obvious one being that we've lost our powers. We've got no powers. We've got no Nova bombs. We've got no blade dance. We've got nothing. You know, we're literally poking people in the eyes with chopsticks and slapping people.
People always say that it might not. If we lose powers, we may not lose the new ones, though, right? Because we didn't get those from the Traveler. They're like a different type of thing. The other supers, the Sunbreaker, the Nightstalker, and the Stormcaller.
Hey, I can...
Yeah, I just played that mission, so it's like, that was a storm. You, like, get a storm's attention, and then you go out, and the storm tests you and deems you worthy and gives you power. So, like, what the heck does that
you
mean?
You find a storm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that definitely has nothing to do with the Traveler.
Well, I mean, okay, so we can say I'm a little bit acquainted with lore, so I can dip my toe into this just a little bit. So what it looks like is what's going on here in Destiny 2. If you've been paying attention to certain grimoire cards or even certain missions like Outbound Signal in Destiny 1, the Cabal have been studying us. Mm-hmm. They have been studying us for a very long time because we're essentially walking nuclear weapons that you can't kill. You kill a guardian, their ghost pops up, they bring you back to life, you're as good as new. That's canon, that's in the story. And there's a couple of grimoire cards that are like from the perspective of Cabal sending reports to the Empire about what they're facing out in the wilds. And one of them is really funny because they talk about a group of guardians that they're basically keeping an eye on. And these guardians are unkillable, monsters of horrific power that do weird things like dance on each other's corpses, kill each other for fun, and then just self-res and leave. And they basically... A couple of the grimoire basically indicate that they figured out where the source of our power is coming from and that it's ultimately the Traveler through the ghosts. And so they figured out that it's the ghost that we use to self-revive, and they've been trying to basically capture ghosts to test things with them and see if they can utilize that power themselves. And with Destiny 2 coming around, it looks like what's going on there. Where to start with this? Okay, so the mission outbound signal on the Dreadnought is basically the Cabal sending a distress signal outside of our solar system. And what ultimately happens there is that distress signal is sent to the Empire. The Empire gets all the reports about what the Guardians can do, what's been going on here, and essentially it looks like they sent Mr. Gary in, and what they're trying to do, it looks like, is take the Traveler so that they can basically do what you're doing as a Guardian. They can basically figure out how to harness its power and use it for themselves. And if they can't pull that off, they'll probably blow it up.
Okay, look at that. First time hearing these things. I like it coming in my ears.
Yeah, I know.
I do big lore.
Man.
Big lore. Big man.
I'm going to PayPal you some silver, and you can read me stories before I go to bed.
I am available to read grimoire cards. I do that.
Ooh, you should do streams
looks like
this, like that. Yeah.
I often thought about just maybe having a videos where I just read grimoire, but I couldn't figure out what kind of video to put with the audio, because Destiny doesn't have that many cutscenes, and I would eventually run out of relevant things to show
still
off.
Still images.
Your face. Just light your face.
Still images, maybe.
No, just
take
sit next to a fire.
Seriously, yes. Wear a robe. Sit by a fire.
Next to a fire.
Drink a Shirley Temple. And
I was
going
to say, get bones to shake you up an old-fashioned candlelight and just read.
Just me in the background.
We go hit a bike and we'll just read.
Get an old-fashioned and put your favorite snake around your shoulder.
Smoking jacket, one of them old school chairs with the high top thingies, fireplace, you know, maybe a pipe with the bubbles coming out of it. And, you know, read us some grimoire. That would be the best stream ever.
If this doesn't happen, in Destiny 2, I might stop playing the game. I'm definitely unsubbing to Link if he doesn't do this. I'll tell you that much.
RIP. My career.
It's the fireplace with TBL, the round fireplace. Ooh. Or whatever. Something like that.
Fireside. So to respond to that, the question, though, about this phrase, yeah. This is the first time I think they've said that whole world without light.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Thing. Yeah. It was on this ticket. And that... Mm-hmm. Does change what I thought was going to happen. In my head, like, I read the Amazon description is just like, find out what happens, you have to explore, find new powers, blah blah blah. So I'm like, okay, so the Cabal hit the Traveler with a weapon that kind of turns off the ghosts. Nolan North is confirmed to play the ghost.
Yeah,
we gotta win, right? Like, we win, and we win and get it back. So in my head, I've just been assuming that, like, yeah, oh cool, new way to find new powers, but we eventually go and beat Gary and we win. Now I don't know if we do. Mm-hmm. And that maybe just for the next however long, months, I assume, we'll play this game, that we just don't have light. And that...
Oh, it's going to be interesting.
That's now not that, a thing. And that confuses me a lot.
Now that TVL says that, all that... filled me in with all that knowledge about the Cabal trying to steal, like, the power of the light. I'm, like, imagining Gary as a raid boss, like, drawing from the power of the Traveler.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
In the fucking raid. The like, having...
Oh my gosh. He's out a flaming hammer.
Yeah, like, he has, like our old me, super abilities to, like, use against us or some shit, and we have to counteract
that
him
would be
some
amazing.
Way in the raid.
Like, in the Traveler to, like, stop him, and he's just, like...
Oh my god, yes.
Self-rezzing a bunch.
Shit.
So that's
this is cool.
The only deep thought that I've gone into with that one for Bibletron is that the guy that writes the taglines for these, like, revealed, you know, advertising and stuff just had a power cut. You know, he's sitting there, pen, paper, and the lights gone out, and he was like,
this is a good story.
I've got it.
It was like,
prepare for a world.
Story.
The
only thing I know.
The light switch for the Traveler.
The only thing I know for sure. Is that the tagline, "Welcome to a World Without Light," is 100% eventually going to be used on Twitter in meme form when Bungie eventually puts out a patch to nerf subclasses and weapons. Yeah. So it'll be like, so to compare for like D1, it's like, oh, we're nerfing Blade Dancer for a third time. And then on Twitter, it'll be the screen cap of the Blade Dancer nerf. And right below, it'll be like, "Welcome to a World Without Light." 1,000 retweets. Done.
Well, if it wasn't,
you just gave
that
me
advice.
Claim it right now.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
If you hate it, why are you going to tweet it? Why are you going to be the one who tweets it out?
Oh, I didn't say I hate it.
Oh, we know.
I'm just saying it's fucking happening. You mark my words. Right now.
Well, it's happening now. You planted the seed.
Yeah.
You're the cultivator.
Yeah, someone in chat's already making that tweet, that meme. Yeah. They've got it like saved in a folder. Destiny 2 memes.
Let's do that.
Ready.
This is my karma farm. The whole my folder is of memes.
Farmer Karm. I like that. Well, we've got time for one more question then, and then it's raid.
One more.
Raid boss time. That's
wonderful.
That's what it is. So, am I finding the last question, or do you want to?
You found all the
other
ones.
You've been doing it so far.
Yeah,
go for it.
And you've been doing a great job.
I'm
trying.
It's so much better than normal.
This one's from JHead13. What new Crucible game modes would you like to see in Destiny 2? Maybe a proper capture the flag mode? That would be awesome. ETC. I suppose we could elaborate on that as well. Like, what Crucible game modes would we definitely like to see come through to Destiny 2 as well? Is there any Crucible game modes apart from Trials that you couldn't do without as well?
I want BTB.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably going to be it. Big team battle.
Give me.
Definitely. Yeah.
Make it happen.
I want to get
call
like
it Faction
a,
Wars.
A 10 multi-kill.
Ugh, that's just more people killing me all the time. I hate it.
Mega says no Crucible confirmed.
No, please. I mean, I'm down with the capture the flag idea too, but I was playing with, I think maybe Fallout, and I said one of the things about like Rift and capture the flag, maybe, I don't know if I was playing with him, but I preferred it the old way in the older Halo games where you weren't like as powerful and as fast when you had the items. So I would love a capture the flag or any type of objective game mode that slowed you down when you had it and forced you to play as a
little
team
bit more.
More
escort there.
Yeah, yeah. I like the escort style.
It worked so great when there was vehicles. Like getting into a Warthog and driving the flag made you feel like you were really crushing it as a driver. You had nothing to do with kills and weapons and stuff. And like you just can't do that quite as much. You can be a clutch bubble or I don't know, maybe you get a nice breaker to clear the path, but like just being in that pure support role of like, get in, come on, you got the flag, and then making a nice drive across the map feels
so
good.
I need it for that so I can be support and so I don't have teammates that just grab the rift and immediately try to solo run in because they can.
They'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, they're probably all right.
I don't want those guys anymore in my life.
Yeah, big team battle and vehicles, that's all I want.
That's what I would put my money in with. I'd love to see more vehicles and more vehicle focus in Destiny 2.
Please.
Plus. Bungie, plus.
I like the idea of like a competitive gamer. This has been like reiterated quite a lot. You know, like again with the whole World Without Light, like a game mode where you don't have access to your super. Maybe the abilities are also restricted. I think not being
like
able to
mode.
Use something like a melee would be a bad thing. Like certain things that to complement gunplay, yes, but like something that was completely focused on primary weapon gunplay. And that would be a great hit for competitive modes as well. But again, you know, going into areas where there's lots of different game modes, as long as they stick to this new system that they've got in Destiny 1 at the moment, where we have minimal playlist on rotation, I think that's definitely a winner. So we can be as inventive as we like with these, you know, requests for new game modes. But as long as they keep them in a bit more of a restricted format for playlists and stuff. But yeah, competitive one, primary weapons, no supers perhaps. Like Titanfall, the pilot mode.
The no light thing, I think you might be onto something, though. The whole concept of no light, having a mode that is a no light mode does sound interesting and something they could work into the canon, so to speak. Yeah. It's like a very natural
kind of thing. I don't think they're going to ignore the requests and the enthusiasm from the competitive audience. But at the same time, Bungie are never going to cater specifically for that. So, like, offering in-game modes, you know, that kind of helps, you know, a bit more customization perhaps for the private matches or, you know, for the playlists kind of thing. I think that would make a lot more sense, and I'd be really shocked if they didn't take advantage of that.
A sort of unnoticed thing just because there's so much bigger things going on, but there's been multiple updates to private match settings, and you could just argue that, like, put that in at the beginning, blah blah blah. But like, it's so awesome turning off heavy ammo. I love it. It's something that just works, and I'm like, no one got applauded for this, and like it was just really appreciated. And even if it came way late in the game, it shows that there's so much that can be done customization wise in private matches that. In the future, it'd be so cool, like, you know, like auto rifles only. I don't know.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Like, I miss those days playing on Battlefield servers, and it's literally hard coded into the server, like, settings, sniper only. If you try and get a kill with anything else, you instantly die. It's like, it's so cool, though, because, like, bolt action sniper rifle only servers, they sound like a nightmare, but they were so much fun. The only thing that you could use was, like, it's like No Land Beyond, bolt action only. So, like, yeah, man, it was lots of fun.
I love No Land Beyond games.
Yeah, man. Well, that's it. That's all the questions that I had favorited on the Twitter feed. I apologize in advance if I've missed anyone's out there.
We'll always be back next week, right?
We are. Yep. We're coming back next week.
Yep.
There's no getting rid of us. We're here forever.
You can't. Sorry.
Even if you don't come to this page, we have actually implanted a virus into your computer. This podcast will open up as soon as we go live.
It's just going to start.
All right. Right then. So how about a nice tasty outro and then a raid?
Sounds good to me. Well, all right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for tuning in to episode 118 of the Planet Destiny podcast. We've had a lot of fun here, got to answer some pretty darn good questions and get a lot of talk in about some Destiny 2. But before we get on out of here, we will let you guys know where you can find us across the internet and if we've got anything big coming up. Story, where you at? What you got coming on this week, man?
I'm sitting here talking to you guys, having a lovely time. Thank you very much.
I like it. Love I like it.
You can find me at YouTube's. You can just type in the name that you see below my little ugly webcam, and you'll find me because there's only me flying that flag. Bones, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me at Bones_CR on Twitter, or just check out CrucibleRadio.com. But can't get too detailed yet. But episode 100 of Crucible Radio is coming up, and even if it's not a big deal to everyone, it's a big deal to us. And Birds and I spent the day in my living room just brainstorming and outlining this new little bonus thing we'll be including in that episode. And there's going to be a couple little surprises. The fun thing is that this comes out on my birthday, which is May 22nd, which is the first episode that will follow the D2 reveal. So we're going to be talking about that. We'll have live stuff from the episode. It'll be episode 100, and there's some other bonus. But just tune in. It's going to be real cool.
Woohoo.
Fallout, what about you?
Just Google Fallout plays. You'll find me.
Jesus. No. Not underscore plays now, right?
No, I'm not going to Google stuff. I want no a URL to type boys. In directly. I want to go right to the page. I don't want to open up a tab.
Go
and then type
Twitch.
In Google and then click the first link.
/Fallout Plays. But I swear to God, don't you fucking follow me.
Don't
do
it.
Do you remember the last time I did this on the podcast? I literally went to bed and woke up and I got like 40 new follows, so I'm doing it again. I swear, don't fucking follow me on Twitter.
Wait, but you told them what you're doing. It's not going to work now.
I didn't
fucking
work anyway.
Like he's
already worked. You've got to realize that when
you
say
wake up
something,
tomorrow morning and you've lost 100 followers.
I know. It's just a huge dice roll.
Those were all me. Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't follow that guy. I mean, it's not like he's affiliated with Twitch or anything. Don't follow that guy.
I've been very slowly building up your follows with alt accounts so that at one time when I want to, I can rip it all out from you.
My mods are literally bones on different machines in his
spinning
home.
Around with monitors everywhere.
Master hacker.
Oh my god. Yeah, just fucking look up Fallout Plays. You'll find me. Mega, where can we find your sorry ass?
Well, if you want to find a stream that Bones would definitely never be caught dead on every weekday at 10 a.m., you can find me at twitch.tv/husky_raid.
Yeah, because that's when I start my job at work, and unlike Fallout,
exactly.
I do stuff
you actually
at my
do
job.
Your job.
Actually,
you think you're so much better than me because you actually do work at your job? Your fancy
yes.
job, man.
As a matter of fact, yes. By the way, both of you guys just got partnered this week, didn't you?
Affiliated. Yes, not partnered.
Yeah.
Affiliated.
Nice work.
Yes. So drop your bits all over us, please. We're desperate for your pennies. Shower us in pennies, baby. Outside of Twitch, you can always look up Husky Raid on YouTube. We're hard at work on Destiny Cop Season 2, so if you do come to my stream, please don't ask me when the fuck it's coming out, because it's coming out. I'm working on it, all right? Leave me alone.
First thing I'm
yeah. And then other than that, just go to the Twitter. So Link, where can we find you?
Well, as usual, you can find me pretty much everywhere on the internet at The Black Link. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all of it at The Black Link. This week, we've got our usual streams for PD coming up. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, all starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Not sure what we're doing this week. I think featured raid, it might be Vault of Glass.
Yeah.
So we might have some viewer raids this week. Viewer Nightfalls. It's going to be a bummer on the Nightfalls because... this week was, of course, Daybreak, which is super duper fun, and it makes me sad when that goes away. But other than that, we've got we got ourselves a little bit of a Nintendo Switch this week, so you might be seeing some non Destiny Nintendo centered content, maybe a little
Hot
Mario
damn.
Kart 8.
I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Switch, I'm debating just bringing it to the Destiny 2 gameplay reveal and then just sitting there and playing like Mario Kart on my Switch the whole time and saying nothing.
Like, yeah,
to
this is coming out on Switch, right? Right, yeah. Destiny 2. Right.
That's my
just making sure. But all right, that's pretty much it. Again, thank you everyone for listening to episode 118 of the Planet Destiny podcast. We'll see you guys next week.